And thank you, ladies. In these days, our theme has been Seeking the Lord as we are preparing for the Manifest Presence Conference coming up, our Victory Conference. And this morning, we looked at the great prayer of Daniel in regard to this matter of what it really means to pray in a way that Jesus will be found. And if we'll search for him with all of our heart. And we talked about what that entails to some degree. Well, in our evening services, as you know, we've been looking at some of the cultural traps that keep us away from having victory and seeing God work in our lives. We've covered a number of things. And a couple of months ago, Mr. Caleb Forrester talked to you about the dangers of technology, and I really appreciate the tremendous work that he does in dealing with probably the most overpowering problem that we're facing in our culture today, as well as within the church. And Pastor Van alluded to that when he was talking about being out at the tournament. I want tonight touch on that subject, but from the matter of the fact that it really is keeping us from seeking the Lord. And that, yes, we have a challenge for 3 weeks here where we're putting an entertainment aside and putting unnecessary use of technology. And I'm trusting that in these weeks that we can develop new habits that will give us a much more spiritual sensitivity and, of course, time to be able to really seek the Lord. I believe it's one of the great traps that Satan has given to us. Habits go deep, especially when it comes to this matter of technology. William James said, if we realize the extent to which we are mere walking bundles of habits, we would give more heed to their formation, and how true that is. Dr. Michael Mitchell, author of Building Strong Families, wrote, approximately 90% of what we do every day is governed by the habits in our lives. That's pretty powerful. Folks, think about how much preaching you've heard about soul winning, about the need for prayer, the need to disciple, family time that's mentoring and true discipleship, and other aspects, memorization of God's word, meditation upon God's word. And everybody here would agree with those messages. And yet, why not? Well, the problem is we have some things in our lives that have bound us, and we are creatures of habit. And when things go into our inner brain and it becomes automatic, we default to the habits that we have unless we purposefully change those habits and create new habits by the grace of God. Proverbs 5:22, speaking of sin, says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And my, how the cords of wrong habits, even wrong priorities, can bind us. And Satan knows that. Ephesians 2, of course, the great truths of Ephesians about the victory that we have in the heavenlies, speaks of how in the past, before we were saved, we walked according to the course of this world, and that's been some of our emphasis, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We walked according to the course of this age, this world system, according to the authority that Satan has in the spiritual realm that is here on this earth, and he knows how to get a hold of people, of course, the lost, and I would even lump Christians that are disobedient. And so he is a master at controlling the atmosphere. Culture provides an atmosphere. And now we have the atmosphere of the world in our hand 24/7, it seems like. I hope not, but that's what it seems like. And so we need to realize that this is not just one little subject that we have to warn ourselves about. This is one that we have to repeatedly ask ourselves, what are our habits And what are the things that are keeping back the nearness of God in our life? I mentioned on Wednesday night, I of course took the Seeking the Lord challenge, and I have tried to get rid of most of the technological hold, and but there's a couple little things that I put away that I have not done at all in this last week, and I tell you what, that's been refreshing. I'm determined, that's it. I'm done with that. That's just a few more minutes every day, it's gone, and I'm still here. I mean, I have survived. It's amazing. I'm happy, you know. I didn't lose out this week. And it's just constantly we have to evaluate ourselves. It's really interesting when you think of the tremendous rise of internet-based activities, and social media has grabbed folks for the last decade and a half especially. Of course, everybody's involved in texting, but then there's gaming, which is a big problem today, and then surfing the web and so forth. The average, in 2016, in a major study, the average high school senior spends 6 hours a day online directly. 6 hours. Well, are we awake? Maybe, what would you say? 12, 14 hours, 16 hours, whatever. That's a big hunk of the day. And yet, this generation, the millennial and the Z generation, have, because of that, they have an intense loneliness that is unheard of in history. And the largest ever survey found out that turning to Facebook does not help. A survey of 55,000 people found that 16 to 24-year-olds experience loneliness more often than any other age bracket. Now, isn't that interesting with all the connectedness? 2 of 5 in that age bracket reported they feel lonely often, compared to only 29% of people aged 65 to 74. Now, wouldn't you think older or senior citizens, I don't like that age bracket being called a senior citizen, but anyway, folks in the mature part of their life, don't you think that they might have more of a tendency to feel lonely? Not so. It's the young people. And it's because, directly because of social media. And some of these things I'm sure Brother Forster went over, but the ones that felt the most lonely in this huge study were the ones that had the most friends online. They directly found that out. And that's because they spent so much time on social media. You have to work at it, you know. And it's making people miserable. Another, this is a whole totally different study, conducted by psychologists at the University of Pennsylvania, have shown for the first time a causal link between time spent on social media and depression and loneliness. Same kind of a study. It concluded that those who drastically cut back their uses of sites like Facebook, Instagram, and so forth often saw a marked improvement in their mood and how they felt about their lives. It was striking, says Melissa Hunt, psychology professor at the University of Pennsylvania, who led the study. What we found over the course of 3 weeks was that rates of depression and loneliness went down significantly for people who limited their social media usage. And their conclusion was that social media addiction, and it is an addiction, makes it harder for people to make and keep real friends and live a real life. And that's what's, you know, been said here recently in a number of different studies that have come out. And it's it goes on, I won't go into all the details, but talks about how making relationship with friends is far more superficial, and they do not know how to handle real life situations. Well, that's all secular perspective. But folks, we need to understand that we are made spiritual beings. We are a spirit. We will live somewhere forever. A person who is lost is dead spiritually, but they still are a spirit and will live somewhere forever, ever. If they never get saved, they'll live in hell, which is just a horrifying thought. Now, for those of us that are saved, we, of course, are regenerated. We are born from above, born again. We are now new creations. Our spirit is holy and righteous, and God indwells us. But we are very spiritually in tuned, and we are made for a relationship with God. Now, here's what I want you to get, is the fact is, what relationships in your life are you looking at to meet your need? Obviously, lost folks are gonna, that question is very hard for them to answer. But if you know the Lord as your Savior, you are made for God. You have the Spirit of God who is enabling you to go into a genuine oneness with the Lord. It's a wonderful privilege that we have, that fellowship that John talks about in 1 John chapter 1. And the question is, the legitimate relationships in our life, our family, and then our Christian family within the body of Christ, all should point us to being fully satisfied with God. All of that works together. But when we have habits that satisfy temporarily and artificially our needs by interacting with a piece of equipment, so to speak, and we are finding meaning in something that's meaningless, or having relationships that are far from genuine relationships, we are cut off from having the genuine relationships that God wants us to, with the people that are important in our lives, that will edify us, strengthen us, and of course for us to meet our responsibilities to them, which will direct us to having a genuine oneness with God. That's what life is all about. And unfortunately, you get into the habit of any aspect of technology, that habit goes deep, and it injures your ability to have fellowship with God and meaningful fellowship with others. Now look at every aspect. Entertainment's been a problem for some time now in America. In fact, many observers looking at the spiritual realm of the spiritual health of America go back to the Hollywood movie beginning and then TV going into people's homes, and America has not had a revival since. And I think it is directly related. Hours were spent, and yes, there's quote-unquote some family time, but living vicariously through the animated entertainment that is there, that alone was getting us out of a real life, and then to have Satan be able to use this to draw us to a non-biblical worldview and a non-biblical life view, Christians began to lose that sense of God and relationships. It used to be the average amount of time at a dinner table 60 years ago was 90 minutes. Today, you're an amazing traditional old-fashioned family if you spend 30 minutes at a supper table three or four times a week. And if people are at the supper table, you know, have you ever noticed, you go to a restaurant, you feel sorry, why in the world did you go with somebody? Just take your phone and go eat the food, you know? I mean, you're not even talking. You got two people, and they're just both looking at their phones, you know, and old time or on an iPad. I mean, I've seen people watching a movie, and there's somebody across the table from them, you know, and you think, what? It's really unbelievable. Entertainment is a real problem, and it is a direct conduit of Satan getting us totally off of spiritual ground. But then now you have, of course, the devices that bring us into the social media. The video gaming is a massive problem. And let me just say, that is very addictive. For young children, and I've got all the stats here, I won't take the time to talk about it. That's been talked to by Brother Forrester and myself earlier. But it is as addictive as heroin for a young child being brought up. And it's harder to get off of heroin than off of video gaming. and it's creating enormous psychological problems with children. You can read, you just look it up, you get more material than you want to even find. And I would say this, I'm at the point for me, some of those video games are fun, I understand that, I've been there, I've done it years ago, not recently. I wouldn't dare play a video game right now, I'm not going to be a stumbling block. Because it's turned into a sophisticated, mind-bending addiction. And I do not want to be a stumbling block myself. And I would encourage you folks, not that a quote-unquote harmless video game is terribly wrong, but I would be very careful about getting into it and bringing down other people with it. That's how strongly I feel about it. I believe it's a serious, serious problem. And by the way, the video gaming, replace that with walking with God, good trade-off. See what happens, folks, as we have talked about before, and of course many of you that are in the special groups now, the Conquer Series and so forth, and those of you that we've worked with as far as the training with your children and so forth, the prefrontal cortex is the decision-making executive branch of your brain. It's where things are processed and where you go from taking things, assimilating them, and getting them down deep into your inner part, your limbic system and so forth in your brain, so you've got habits forming, character, able to do things well, develop strong abilities and so forth. And what happens is that it is so powerful, the addiction to video gaming, the addiction to entertainment, the addiction to social media, and these aspects of technology, that the brain is re-altered, and you look at the imaging of a brain where somebody is viewing for several hours a day, any of those above categories, and the brain looks just like the brain of a heroin addict. And it's very real. But thankfully, God allows us to be able to rejuvenate. New pathways can go. But there is such a strong habit, the ability to make the right decision is not there, especially with that addictive glow of the different technology. And again, I have much here I could say about that, but we need to understand. Now, is this a spiritual matter? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, quote it with me. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Could I just say, do not allow any addiction to meet your need on a regular basis, but instead be controlled by the Spirit? Would that be a legitimate application? I believe absolutely. And so, my friends, whatever causes us to be pulled away from doing what is best, whatever causes us to do that which might hurt us, whatever is going to hurt our priorities and hurt our character, and above all, cause us not to look to the Lord to meet our needs, that's got to go. So that we can be what? Controlled by the Spirit. Most social networking and video gaming goes till 1 or 2 in the morning. You're not going to have much of a devotional life the next morning. Listen, you watch a full-length movie, and I really don't encourage you to do it, but if you did, the night before, your devotions are going to be shot the next morning. Folks, do we really want to know God? I know I'm being pretty blunt here, but this is a big issue. You talk to any pastor, you talk to any youth pastor, you talk to any expert, I am understating the problem that we're facing today. And I want to commend you dads for the courage that you've had to not allow those devices to be in your children's hands. And I commend you for not allowing entertainment to dominate your family, and for you to do the odd thing of not being obsessed with social networking. You will never be sorry, because what you are doing is giving an opportunity for your children and your spouses to develop a sensitivity to spiritual things and learn that God is enough. Learn that it really is great to know people. to be a blessing, to reach people with the gospel, to be able to edify one another, to enjoy the simple things of life. And it is an addiction. If we had a few testimonies right now, we could talk about, all right, what'd you give up this last week if you took the challenge? Was it a bit of a difficulty? What would you do? We didn't say no texting, did we? How would you live without texting? I think we'd have to probably open up some rooms for people to get over the shakes after a couple of days. Because you have a dopamine hit every time you hear the ding. By the way, don't turn on your ding. I encourage you not to do that. But every time somebody sends you something, there's a hit. Why do people want to go on social media? Because they want to find out who cares enough to talk to them. And that's a deep habit-forming situation. Now, I think texting can really be used well. But how much does it control you? You know, you don't have to check your texting every other minute. The average American checks their phone every 4 minutes. If you average out all the usage of phones in America, it's once every 4 minutes. And if that's the case, I'd break the back of that by the grace of God. You know, there's someone else trying to give you a text, if I can say that reverentially. There's somebody that's trying to get your attention. Somebody wants to talk to you. You know, and I want to say this very carefully, but we ought to get our dopamine hits from what talking to God, from seeing God work, from being a blessing to somebody. Listen, if you habitually are getting joy out of serving God, man, that's a great habit. That's why God gave us that ability. But we're self-centered because of our fallen nature, and we can fall into these things. Another one of these problems of the technology is that it causes us to not face the responsibilities of life. Isn't that what happens when somebody drinks? They drink to avoid facing the problems that they ought to be taking care of. And my friends, you can live in an artificial world, but what about your wife? What about your husband? What about your kids? What about the lost? What about Christians that need to be mentored? Very easy for us to do that. We get disconnected from the pressure of being around people. I mentioned this, I think, in the last time that I brought this subject up. In a survey of 8,000 Christians, 73 admitted to checking their email and social media before they ever got around to devotions. It's a good thing to break. But people need me. That spiritual sensitivity is what I'm trying to talk about. See, what we're talking about these 3 weeks is we want to start walking with God. We really want to hear his voice. Do you think he wants to give you what you need? Do you think he wants to give you wisdom? Do you think he wants to meet your needs? Is the fruit of the Spirit real? Don't you think he wants you to know him even better? Doesn't he have great divine appointments for you moment by moment, day by day? But he can't get a hold of our attention when we have allowed the habits of distractions to come into our life. And by the way, the more addicted you are to technology, the less emotional, what should I say, good, innocent response there is. We're sort of burned out. We overdo the brain. One of the worst things you can do is to watch a lot of entertainment because your brain goes through all those emotions in that setting, and then in real life things are... And that's why people are unhappy. And then one of the big things about social media especially is that you're looking for immediate approval. Folks, the fear of man on the negative side and then the desire for approval on the positive side, if that's what we live for, that's called pride. That's called self. You see, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but not I, but who liveth within me? Christ. And so we should more than anything else want to know that the Lord is pleased with our life. You know, you may be listening to me right now and you say, well, that doesn't all seem as real as I want it to be. That's the point. It can be. Every person in here can live in perpetual revival. I'm not talking about a high emotional experience. I'm just talking about really knowing God. We can walk with God. Prayer can be precious. The word of God can just dominate your heart, but you can't if you have habitual distractions in your life. And it really affects us because we have a very hard time concentrating. You sit down for an hour and not have to look at something? And you realize, especially, one of the reasons I will not watch entertainment, there's too many images being shot at me all the time. And my brain gets altered by constantly having all of these different images. Again, it's not wrong to watch a film and those kinds of things, but I'm just saying that there is it really does hurt our ability to concentrate. Just work with children, and any children's worker will tell you that. And then, of course, the investment in people for the ministry. Today, more and more conservative, fundamental churches are doing away with any extra services. And just Sunday morning. Folks, we got all this, and it's just too much to invest ourselves in people's lives. That's really what's happening. And I feel sorry for the young millennial pastors coming out. They don't know what to do with that. And they themselves are caught in that trap. And people want to go home and in the evening watch movies. They want to do those kind of things. Folks, there's a world to reach. There's a God to know. There's a great cause. We all know that. You agree with me on that. And so I just felt like since we were having this seeking the Lord, I needed to hit this again because it is a problem. You know, sometimes when I have to deal with things, I get a little tired of dealing with it and I like to maybe push it off for a while. This is one I can't because I am hearing more and more and more. I'm getting flooded with warnings. I am facing what's going on. I travel out there. I know what's going on. But I am convinced that people that want to know their God and make the right decisions can become, I think we could be godlier than any other age if we'll take the right steps to do so. Because we're having to go against a flood of problems in our life. And so I just want to encourage you. I don't want you to see this as just an external thing. That's not the point. Whatever takes away my love for God, whatever causes me to depend upon, whatever causes me to depend on it rather than knowing God, what takes away my spiritual sensitivity, what causes me to think about things I ought not think about, what causes me to waste time that is valuable, what pulls me away from people that I ought to love and invest myself in, those things ought to go. Whatsoever is good is what we ought to follow. And if there are doubtful things, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We need to make the right decision. These are hard choices. It's life today, isn't it? And yet, the Holy Spirit can give you the peace and the grace to be balanced. We have to use our phones. We have to use our computers. I don't know necessarily if we really need a big TV in our rooms. That I think we could do without. But we can control it. And let me just say, parents, with all of these things, I plead with you. Do not, and all you teenagers, don't get mad at me, but I plead with you not to let your teenagers and down have smartphones or smart tablets. You somehow made it through teenage years without that. I know your kids think you're a bit warped, parents, but you did make it, okay? And I want to plead with you because of all that it does to the brain, the habits that it forms. I tell kids, a lot of our college kids have a lot to overcome. I'm telling you, you want to keep your kids' minds pure, you better be very careful. If I could make you, I would, but I can't, because I love you. I'm so tired of the pollution in our kids' minds. It is possible to raise kids with minds that are free from that. I'm telling you, dads, you need to be the man of God and not let what other people do. It doesn't matter, even if somebody you respect in this church allows their kids to do it. If you know it's not the right thing for your kids, then you have the courage to do what's right. And I tell you, young people, you support your dad. And I really encourage you, we have got to be, we are going to have to confront this in a balanced, biblical, not humanly restraining way, but in a genuine, honest heart to know God. And if we will, those sacrifices will really be a blessing. But let me say this, those habits go deep. It takes 3 weeks to break a habit. It takes months to get over a technology habit. You're going to have to be brutal about it. You're going to have to make no exception. You may have to do some pretty tough things to overcome that. I right now could take the next 5 hours of testimonies from people just in this room today, and you'd be convinced. But God's grace is able to speed that up, and you can get free. Here's my final challenge. Tomorrow, wouldn't it be great if you were totally free to just do what God wants you to do and finish the day pleasing God? Wouldn't that be great? And talk with God all day long. That's where we want to be. I don't want to be controlled by anything. The Bible says that. And may God give us that kind of heart. Let's bow for prayer. This has been, I know, a very straightforward, more of a pastoral counseling message than an actual message. But as we've been going through these cultural traps, I just got burdened that I needed to touch on this again because some of the things that we continually face. And if we're going to seek the Lord, we just got to get free. Every decision that God's led me to do to stay free has really made a difference in my personal life. And I'm thankful for every restriction I put on my own children. And I'm so thankful for the very same things they're doing for their children. And I encourage us to seek the Lord more than anything. You'd say, Pastor, you've talked about things, and I realize there's some habits in my own life or things that I'm allowing, and I realize that I can't just play at this. I really do want to seek the Lord. I want to search for Him. I know Him. He will be found, and I have got to overcome some of these habits in my life. And the Lord has touched me. It may not be terrible things. It can be spending a half hour searching sports apps. It can be stuff that just doesn't seem such a big deal. But you know it's not enhancing your spiritual life. It isn't necessary. You can live without it. There are higher priorities. You don't have to lose the time. I don't know how God may have talked to you about it here tonight. But you'd say, Pastor Van Gelder, God has worked in my heart tonight, and I want to address these things that He's convicted me about. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up for a moment so I can see them and then put them down? Yes, God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Maybe there's someone here. We hadn't really talked about it, but oh, how you need the Lord. You may be here, and if you were to die, you don't know you'd be in heaven. Friend, got good news for you. Jesus is able to save you tonight. Is anyone like that? Say, you know, I'm right here tonight, Pastor. God's working in my heart. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that we could pray for? Lord, would you work in hearts? And Lord, I've just shared my heart here tonight. I trust it'll be understood right. Lord, this is a key problem today. And Lord, we can be free to really know you. Now, Lord, help us make wise, balanced, informed, and godly decisions in our lives. May we not look at anybody else, and may we not judge anybody else. Just, Lord, in our own lives, help us to be really conscious of doing what is best. And Lord, give great freedom and give great victory for these especially that raise their hands, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.